where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I am delighted to introduce Noah Fleischman, producer of Passage to Profit. He is a radio professional who has been in the industry
a long time.
We started with Noah, as we said earlier, and we were in good hands, and we still are. So, Noah, what do you think is important for producing a radio show?
Oh, my goodness, Elizabeth. First of all, I just want to congratulate the two of you on the 300th presentation of Passage to Profit. Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, 300 is a perfect bowling score. It's also a great RBI average for a ball player.
Absolutely, Richard. And if people only knew what went into the celebration here today, oh my goodness, the party hats, the streamers, all these things around us. I mean, they could make, you know something, this week I had the opportunity to take part in the guest coordinating process of Passage to Profit, what our friend Alicia Morrissey does, coordinating the guests and pre-interviewing and all that sort of thing. I mean, here I am producing the show every week, and yet I wasn't even aware of the intensity that goes on in the preparation of the guests. I thought to myself, you know, with all this preparation going on, this is not your typical radio show. This is a documentary could be done on this. You know, we could get like the,
well,
like
we're still waiting for A&E to come and
in here. We could get like in the old days, we could get like the Maisels brothers or D.A. Pennebaker to come in and do the black and white documentary on Passage to Profit and how it's done. But Elizabeth, you asked me what is involved in producing great radio, shall we say, or the term great radio, which is such a buzz term or a buzz phrase that I've been hearing for so many years. What is great radio? Great radio, as I find it, is in the, you know how they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder?
Yes.
Well, great radio in many ways is in the ear of the listener, and it involves great conversation. It involves a certain fluidity to the talk and the conversation that goes on, sort of the opposite of what's happening right now. But anyway, as I was saying, but no, to produce Passage to Profit, it's quite a delicate process.
Egos are a big part of it.
Actually, Richard's joking. What happens is, for something like Passage to Profit, we have guests from all walks of life, all walks of the world, all professions, and you never quite know what you're going to get when you open that box. That's the thing about Passage to Profit. It's not your typical, let's bring these news people in here, these newsmakers and these politicians, and we're just going to have a discussion. That's kind of what goes on everywhere, but Passage to Profit is a little bit different. We're going to talk to people from all different parts and all different, and you know, Shark Tank, for example, which is the only thing I heard out of Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart when they first came here. Oh, we want to do Shark Tank on radio. And I said, well, you know, maybe I think we're going to do something a little different. We got something a little better going on right here, actually, something a little more introspective. Talking to folks about how they started, where it came from, where the idea happened. Those are the interesting parts of entrepreneurship. But in television, of course, it's very directional. They'll bring you into a room and they'll give you the talk. They'll work you over a little bit and they'll say, okay, you're going to say this, you're going to say that, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, bang. And, you know, we roll. On Passage to Profit, it's a little bit different. We kind of let the action happen. And I'm kind of like the D.A. Pennebaker. I'm kind of like the Albert Maisels. I'm the one capturing all the action, and then we bring this to the radio somehow. And it's a fascinating process. It really is. I can't believe that we do this every week, let alone 300 of them.
And how do you decide what goes on the cutting room floor, Noah? Because we tape for a long time, and you cut a lot of it out.
If it sounds good, Elizabeth, it stays in. What does sound good mean? Sounds good means you can understand it, you can catch the action. You know, this is a radio show. I know we're on video, we're on YouTube, we're a podcast, we're all these different things, but the fact of the matter is that it needs to be heard. Radio needs to be, there's an old quote from the late, great Alfred Hitchcock, and he pointed out in a quote that we used to hang on the walls in our radio station for years. The quote was, "In radio, sound is a very important element." Now, this was Hitchcock, of course, and he was a little bit of a character, but what does that mean? It means that you have to be cognizant of being able to hear everything that's being said. You know, when you have these moments on these television or radio programs, television also tremendously, you've got people on a panel talking over one another, and they start laughing with each other, and they start going into all these collective chatter moments, and you can't put that on the radio necessarily because you can't hear what this person just said. If a joke happens and everyone's roaring with laughter and you didn't hear the joke, well, that can't happen. I can't leave that joke in because, unfortunately, no one heard it. But it was a great joke, trust me.
So Noah, one of the things that really captured me about you is how much you love the medium, how much you love radio. Where does that come from? Where does that passion come from?
I thought you were going to tell me, Richard. You know, you've got a little bit of that passion yourself, actually.
But it's the old producer's trick. Turn it back on the host. I see.
Yeah, well, no, actually, the truth is it comes from exposure to the medium at a young age. I think, you know, I had this experience when I was about 11 years old when it's a long story, but my family and I took a trip to Minnesota, of all places, and we stayed at a Holiday Inn. And in the basement of the Holiday Inn, there was this radio station, a music station. I'll never forget it. It was KNXR Radio. It was one of these classic, beautiful music stations from the old beautiful music days. And they had their headquarters in the basement, and I found myself just fixated, just staying by the display window of the place, just looking at all the operations and what was going on. And the folks inside were very friendly. They invited me in, which I didn't believe. And they said, yeah, let me show you what goes on around here. And they were showing me the operation, and it was fascinating. Now, my fascination with radio went long before that. I was this insomniac child in my parents' home, getting up at like 2 o'clock in the morning when the whole house was asleep. And as I walked past the bedrooms, there would be radios on at the bedside because my older folks, my elders, were folks that grew up in the great days of radio, going back to the war years and that sort of thing. And these were radio kids. They were raised on radio. So many years later, I would be this insomniac child at 2 in the morning walking past the halls, hearing these discussions that were going on talk radio at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm saying to myself, this is an 8-year-old child saying to himself, what could these people possibly be talking about at 2:30 in the morning? That's so interesting. And of course, many years later, and it became sort of a life quest. I had to figure out what is so involved at 2:30 in the morning that it becomes radio at that hour. And many years later, I discovered it. Some of it's on right now.
Yeah. I mean, radio has always been a part of my life, though. I mean, I can remember as a young kid, every morning, listening to WGN in Chicago.
There you go.
And I was getting ready for school. My parents were getting ready for work. We always had the radio station on. And, you know, that was before we had the internet and cell phones and all this other stuff.
In other words, Richard, it was before we had all the distractions.
Right.
You see, that's something else about great radio, which is that there was just a little bit more concentration in the way people listened at that time. There's this big war on, this big struggle fighting for attention space. Elizabeth knows all about this because she talks about it practically every week on this show. Yeah. The war for attention space
but
from
listeners.
But, you know,
listeners. Back in those, it didn't feel like a war. You know, and probably was because there was advertising. I mean, radio was a business.
It wasn't the war that it is.
But now it's a crazy war.
Yeah.
And because everybody has access to the public airwaves in one shape or another, which is great. I think it's a great democratization.
You're talking about democratization, but I will tell you that what's going on right now could be called attention anarchy.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Yeah. I mean,
and there's no getting around that. That's just the nature of what's been introduced into our culture. You know, that was one of those little things that not a lot of people thought about when they started inventing all these things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so much that it's nothing.
But there
because
is
there is so much.
So
content.
Much that it's nothing.
But there is
write that
one
down. That's going to be the subtitle of the show. So much that it's nothing.
There is one place where radio wins, I think, over everything else. If you're driving in your car, and you maybe can't even put a podcast on because you're trying to pay attention to your driving instead of fumbling through podcast titles. Or at least me, my personal experience, I'm listening to the radio. And I can tune through different stations. I'm not even, if Richard's in the car, we might be listening to a podcast. But those kind of take some concentration. Like, I want to just listen to the radio. And then when I'm stuck in traffic, I've been thinking this lately. Well, it's okay because I can listen to good songs on the radio while I'm sitting here. So at least I'm doing something fun. And I think that's where radio wins.
Radio does win there, and you cannot have your attention anarchized like that. You need to have a situation where you can simply focus. You're in a position and a place where you can actually focus. You know, I said this long ago, I think, in one of my little retrospective corners on the show, that this on-demand element of today's culture, unfortunately, has kind of driven us a little bit over the edge here. You know, in the old days, television, for example, was something that you looked in the TV guide, you saw what each of the six channels were playing, you knew what was on, you knew what you weren't going to be able to see, and you made a choice and you watched something. It's much more difficult now. Now we are on the cusp of this situation where you, the listener, you, the viewer, have to make all these decisions. And you know what? It's great to have choices, but you know, we don't really want all those decisions. Sometimes it would just be easier if someone told, hey, you're going to watch this on Channel 6 tomorrow night because that's what's on.
And with the limited choices, you also know what other people are watching, and it gives a way to communicate with other people. You know, the next day at work, did you see this episode of Little House on the Prairie?
That too. So now it's a situation where you arrive to work the next day and everyone's talking about a show that you didn't even know about, or, you know, you can't see because you don't have that streaming service or that sort of thing. And as a result, there was a term, you know, when I went to school in the 1900s, there was a term that professors started using in media courses called narrowcasting. And I thought to myself, well, that's a little over the top. We haven't gotten to a place where narrowcasting becomes an issue yet. Now everything is narrowcasting.
What does that mean?
Well, what's the opposite of broadcasting? Broadcasting is when the entire world, the entire listening universe can hear what you're doing. And we still have plenty of that, thank goodness. But narrowcasting is when you've got creations that are meant to be heard by very, very specific, very elite audiences at a time, because that's the only people that are going to be able to hear them at that time. And as a result, more and more, we've gotten into that. And that's where the attention anarchy comes in, because people are all fighting for the attention space of the listeners.
So we have time for one more question.
Sonia, I have to ask you one question. You appeared on Guiding Light many years ago. Now, I know there was this situation that went on many years ago when producers of these daytime dramas decided suddenly, after years of recording shows, they said, hey, we may have to go live. Let's try it. And suddenly it became a trend. This was many, many years ago this happened. I don't know if you were a part of any of those live presentations.
It actually happened right after. Because I always say our
you missed
I
out
thought
on that.
I did. Soap operas went down during the OJ trial. Because we actually got moved. But that was also the beginning of reality TV. Because basically the OJ trial was reality TV. A lot cheaper, unfortunately. But I think that was also where they thought, it's too expensive. We need to save money. And hey, reality TV is good. So let's just go live, just like as if it were reality.
And you can save a few dollars on writers. You know.
Yeah. So I never got that experience. I would have loved it. It would have been like doing a play only on TV. Because that was always the great thing.
Television's origins, as many of us know, came in those situations when everything was absolutely live. And there were no second takes. You just went with it.
Mm-hmm. And so, Noah, this has been fabulous. How do people find you if they want to ask you a question?
If anyone wants to reach out to the Passage to Profit website, I think that's a great place to start. And that would be fabulous. But thank you so much, though, for having me join the panel. And this is the High School Arista Club induction that I never had. Thank you so much. Absolutely. If only they could see me now, they could say, who is this guy? I never met him before. Thank you so much again.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.